Genesis 1:26. And I need one more. Jim? Or this young lady. Revelations 21:1 and Revelations 22:1. Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we are your children. We acknowledge you. We worship you. We recognize you. And we live our lives by our standards. Now, that's not a contradiction, Father. That's the truth. And in this truth, we need to understand your blessing, your leadings, so that we may truly be called your obedient children. For all of us here, Father, with the Holy Spirit that we have, stir the Holy Spirit so that each and every one of us can gain something, an understanding, a blessing from what is done with one another for your honor, for your glory, in all things at all times. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, how many of you are alive? Okay. You got up this morning. And as Christians, what's the first thing we say about being alive? That's God's
plan.
Amen. Okay. Okay. God brought us alive, and we're going to live our lives. Okay. Back in Genesis, God scratched his head and said, let's make man in our own image. Okay. So, we are made in God's own image, and today you're going to live your life. All right? You got up. What did you do when you got up? What kind of clothes do you have on? What food did you eat? What car did you drive? Are you going to the movies? Are you going to your in-laws? All of these things that we live in our lives, we live by our decisions. And our decisions are for one purpose, to make us who we are. To make us better, so that we can have more in our lives when the day ends than when it began. This is very similar to God, okay? This is the same thing with God. And where I'm coming from is this. God is alive. God is supreme. God is powerful. God is every place. God knows everything. Okay, okay, okay. How many children are dying of famine? Is God in charge of that? God responsible for that? Are there people dying with war? Is God responsible for that? In the Bible tells us to pray for the leaders of the nations that you may live in peace. Okay? I pray for the leaders of the nations all the time, but there ain't a whole lot of peace in the world in some places. Now, is God responsible for that? There's famine, drought in the United States for the first time, I mean in a long time, a real good drought. God is supreme, God is powerful, God is every place. God is responsible for that? What about the rains? What about the floods? What about all of this stuff that happens every day? God's in charge, right? Okay. Let's look at that a little bit. In living our lives, we base our decisions on what we feel, what we have, and what we want. God does the same thing. There are four different areas to God's will. The first area of God's will is that God's will is ultimate. Okay? Genesis 1:26.
Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creations that move along the ground.
Okay, God's ultimate will. He did that, okay? It's called creation. 2,000 years ago or whatever, and it's in existence, and we know it. And as Christians, we accept that's the way it's happening, okay? God's ultimate will, okay? Is there another ultimateness to God's will. Young lady, read me Revelations 21:1 and 22:1.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea.
Revelations 22:1.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb.
Okay. What does ultimate mean? Come on, help me out. What does ultimate mean? That's the way it's going to be. It doesn't matter. That's the way it's going to be. God created, and in his ultimate will, and we're living because of that. And in God's ultimate will, Revelations 21:1, 22:1, he is again going to claim his creation, his ultimate will. We are all going to be brought back to waking up every day and living our lives in his creation, directed and controlled by him. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. That's going to happen. I saw the river flowing from the city. That's going to happen. God's children are going to be blessed because that's God's ultimate will.
Yes.
Okay. We have an interim period between God's ultimate will. Genesis 1, Revelations 21, Revelations 22. This interim period. Okay. The second point of God's will is his permissive will. And in his permissive will, I need to be careful. God does not allow sin. But because of God's nature, because of his permissive will, sin happened, and God didn't smash it. He gave us the right to choose, and he didn't interfere with our right to choose. He let us choose sin. He's standing there going, oh my gosh, what are you doing? My judgment for sin, Romans 3:23, is death. And sin, in all its ramifications, whatever, God's judgment is death. It's a penalty. Okay, sin. Oh, it squashed. That fly that was there, he ain't there no more. And that's what's going to happen with God and us and sin. We are going to be eliminated. Now, what are we talking about being eliminated? What has God promised us? And from his ultimate will, there is what? There is a heaven. And because there is a heaven, there is also a hell. Who created hell? God did. Why did God create hell?
For the devil.
For the devil and his angels. One third of the angels in heaven, Lucifer's cohorts, his followers, were taken from heaven and thrown to earth. And the penalty for rebellion against God because of the devil and his angels is hell. Did God create hell for man?
No.
No. Why is man going to hell?
He has free will
and he chooses. That's a very important point to remember. In this permissive will of God, he allows each and every one of us to make our own choices, our own decisions, and in our own choice, in our own decisions, we are rewarded by God. Now, understand this. We are not punished by God. We are rewarded by God because we either follow his dictates or we don't follow his dictates. And there is a reward for whichever way you choose to go. It's not God's choice. Okay? So sin is God's permissive will. And the Bible also says the penalty of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. Okay. The ultimate will, the permissive will, and God's intentional will. What is God's intentional will?
For all of us to come to know him and be in heaven with him someday.
He wants us all to be saved. His intentional will is to bless mankind. Now catch this. Bless mankind. It doesn't matter whether you're right or whether you're wrong. If you're right, great. If you're wrong, well, maybe in time you'll become right. So in God's plan, his intention is that man be blessed. What is the prime example of God's planned intentional blessing for man? It's called Jesus Christ. He has brought Jesus Christ here so that we can choose whether we're going to become again the children of God that God planned clear over here in Genesis 1. The ultimate will of God, that we all be his children. He has allowed Jesus Christ. He has brought Jesus Christ. And he has allowed us to again choose as we live in this interim period the truth of God. Jesus Christ. He wants all of us to be blessed. Because God wants all to be saved, and God is sovereign, God is supreme, God is all-powerful, God is in every place, God knows everything, and God wants us all to be saved. Are all of us going to be saved?
No.
Why? Wait a minute. If that's what God wants and it's not going to happen, God's not very powerful, is he? Okay. Okay. It comes back to our free will. And we need to realize in living our lives with God and the Word and the Bible that this free will is something that God will honor in all places, at all times, in all circumstances, because he has promised us, his creation, to be sovereign and supreme in our own lives. Excuse me, you do what you want, your way, for your purpose. This is what I want you to do, and if you do it this way, fine. If you don't do it this way, well, there's not a whole lot I can do about it. Okay, God's will, his ultimate will, his permissive will, his intentional will, and now we get down to the last part of God's will. It's called circumstantial will. And in this interim period, the circumstantial will of God is based on what we just talked about, our personal choice. We choose. And in living our lives, can God place people in power, in leadership?
Yes. Absolutely.
Does God place people in power, in authority? Let's take a look at George Washington. Was God responsible for placing George Washington as president of the United States?
He ordained it.
Okay. What about Bill Clinton? Was God responsible for Bill Clinton being
ordained? He ordained it.
Okay. Now we need to be careful.
All things are possible with God.
Okay. All right. But we need to be careful because that's a blank statement, and it's true. But there's something in that statement that we really need to understand. Obama, did God place him in authority in America? Did he place him as president? Okay. In the Bible, it tells us to pray for the leaders of nations that we may live in peace. Now, what do we know about serving God? Those who serve God are blessed by God. And in the blessings of God, if the people are not serving God, Can God bless them? And the answer is no. The more we are in God's presence, the more we are in obedience to God's laws, the more we live our life by the Christian ethic, which is basically, it's not nice not to be nice. We're supposed to be nice to everybody. The more we do that, the more God can work with us in our lives. But if we're not doing that, God doesn't work with us in our lives, which means there are a lot of things that happen in the world that God lets happen in the world because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. If you're working with God and serving God and being obedient to God, God's got you in His hands and He's holding you and He's protecting you. His word says He never leaves you. I'll give you direction. I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you guidance. I will give you your needs, okay? But if we're not in obedience, it's not nice not to be nice, so hey, I don't have to worry about it. God has to step away from you. Another way of looking at this is that me, in living my life, if I'm a true Christian, and I wake up and I do the Christian thing, God's angels is right there, and God is right there. And excuse me, I'm human. I sin, okay? And what happens when I sin? God goes, what did He say about sin? Oh. What happens when I sin? God has to back up. And how far does God back up? It depends on how bad I sin. If I sin and ask for forgiveness, then God can come back to me. But if I sin and I don't ask for forgiveness, or if I sin and the word we're going to use here is backsliding, okay? You're all familiar with that, backsliding. We all backslide. Hey, I can tell you that because I've done it. I still do it, okay? Be careful, be careful. It's true. But in backsliding, the further I backslide, the further God and His angels get from me, which means the strength of God, the bounty of God, the wisdom of God, God providing for me, isn't coming to me from God the way it should be, because I'm not being obedient to the word of God. And whose fault and responsibility is that? It's mine. It's not God's. So in this last period of time, the circumstantial will of God is based entirely upon sin. When Adam sinned, he brought the world into sin. And until the year 1950, the world had a rejuvenating capacity. It could rehabilitate itself. But after 1950, we became so technologically involved with forestry and fishing, we have taken the things of this world and we have pulled them to the point where the world can no longer rejuvenate itself and maintain itself, and we're going to hell in a handbasket. And that's not God's fault. And God's not going to stop that because this world is becoming less and less and less oriented on Him. So the things that are happening in this world today are the results of sin. And the result of sin is that you and I as Christians are not living for God as strongly as we could be. Stop that. Stop that. There is always more I can do for God. Okay? It doesn't matter who I am, where I am, what I have. There's that little bit of something else I can do. And there's a need within me, a thing within me, that if I can honor what God wants, God in turn can honor me. This world is not honoring God. This world is going to hell. Just before we get to Revelations 21, Revelations 22, It's called the Battle of Armageddon. It's brought about by the fact that the world has gone to hell. The Holy Spirit has been removed. The Antichrist is on the world, and it's bringing everything into the ungodly rule and realm of sin. And that's the time when the circumstantial will of God is going to say, that's the end of it, because it's my ultimate will now. So today, in living our lives, we do the same thing. God has an ultimate will. God has a permissive will. He lets sin happen. God has an intentional will. The biggest example of an intentional will is Jesus Christ. He wants to bless the world. He wants us all to be saved. It ain't going to happen. Okay? And then the circumstantial will of God, which means that if we're walking in obedience, if we're walking in love, if we're walking in fellowship one with another and have fellowship with one another, then we have the light of Christ in our lives and our sins can be forgiven. But if we're not walking in Christ as the light of our life, and there's a lot of us who aren't, okay? Then God's going to let it happen. He's not going to prevent it from happening. He's not going to take his children out of the way so they don't have to live through it. We're going to live through it because we have to come to the point where God says, you remember my will? Sin is not allowed. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Father, we are your children. And we love you. And we sing praises to your name. And we live our lives. Father, and in living our lives, we sometimes get sidetracked. It's called backsliding. But in all things, even today, you are a God of mercy. You are a God of understanding. You are a God of love. And we are your children. And in all things that do happen, you can be with us, bless us, guide us, and direct us. Father, I ask that these here, your children, be blessed by you in what they do, say, and are forever and ever and ever and always as they live their lives day by day. In the precious and sweet name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.